This is CliffCentral.com.
All she needed was some.
You're hanging out with Ria Betsy Cecilia and Malcolm Zuli.
The finest.
The world.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening.
Whenever you are listening to this, you know you are listening to the best podcast in the world.
In the world.
In the world. Yeah. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the worst, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are keeping it light, we're keeping it fun, we're keeping it easy, but it might just get a little bit deep. You know how we always do, we tell the whole truth and nothing but, and sometimes we go there. In fact, all the time. Even our light topics turn a bit dark at times. Today we talk about social media psychology. How does this play into our daily realities? I know we've had this social media discussion time and time again, but it's because it's part of our lives to such a large extent that we're trying to figure out how to merge the two, or how to separate the two when we need to, right?
Yeah. It's part of our lives to such a large extent that people can't take a shit without going to the bathroom with their phone. People, they're on social media before they even brush their teeth in the morning.
Yeah, but it's partly because business happens on social media. You know, shit happens. Like, I used to nyats people who are on their phone all the time. But now I'm like, that guy could be making a $1 million deal right now. He could be signing some shit that I could only dream of. So I don't yas people anymore to that extent. Now we've just got to figure out, you know, how it plays into our reality. So we'll be looking at it from the relationship perspective. We'll be looking at it from a business perspective. And we'll also be looking at it from a personal perspective. You know, how much do you share? How much should you share? Is it a good idea to share any of your personal life at all? We'll get into all of that today with the worst, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you want to hit us up on social media, please do. We are at @_worst_guys, and you can catch us on Instagram, the worst guys, and on Facebook, we're @_worst_guys. All right. So, social media, yay or nay?
Yay for days.
All right. Why? What are the main reasons?
Dude, we're living in the future now.
For sure.
Honestly speaking, if you're not on social media, it's like you don't have an ID.
Yeah. That's what my agent actually told me. She's like, you need to post one post a day. Otherwise, people forget about you. You don't exist in the minds of the consumer if you're not on social media. People don't look for show concert posters anymore. It's like, where's your Instagram? Why can't I see where you're performing on your grams?
You know, and it's not even just that. Like, you know how you said we're also going to touch on relationship-wise?
Yeah.
Girls freak out when they can't find anything on the guy that they want to date.
They're like, nah, this guy is dodgy. Yeah. Why isn't he on social media?
You know, and guys at the same time, you know, if I can't find out about you on social media, like, hey, bruh, you might just be catfishing me.
Yeah. I don't know. I personally would say yay to social media. Although I do think the way it's changed over time has kind of put me off it to a large extent. Because I used to feel like I was free on social media.
Okay.
I used to feel like, especially on Twitter. Let me say Twitter. In fact, let's start with Facebook, right? The OG. Because Facebook was cool when it first came out, right?
Yeah.
We all were on it. We all enjoyed it. We all said what we wanted to. It was on our minds. Then over time, it started to die. And people started to be like, Facebook is cut.
Is Facebook really the OG, or is it not MySpace?
No. Those are the guys who started. Those are before Facebook. What I'm saying in terms of creating a social media atmosphere.
And revolutionizing.
Where not everybody had MySpace. I didn't have a MySpace account. Did you?
No, I didn't. But I knew of people who had. But that was back when, you know, not everybody had easy access to the internet.
Yeah.
MySpace was back in the days where you had that internet connection.
The dial-up.
Exactly.
Dial-up.
You know what I'm saying?
No. So I'm mentioning Facebook as one of the OGs in terms of the fact that everybody has it. If you don't have Facebook, it's weird.
Yeah.
You know, if you didn't have MySpace, it was like, okay, whatever. So eventually Facebook started to rot. Because more and more people came, your mom and your dad hopped on, and then it started to be trash.
I still have family members sending requests, and you know, this is when you start finding out family members that you didn't even know existed. People who have the same surname as you or share the same surname as you, now all of a sudden don't want to invite you,
thinking that's
you're family.
True. Yeah,
you know?
There's this guy called him Luli Boy Wonder. I don't know who the fuck he is, but he likes every picture, so I like him. Shout out to Luli Boy Wonder if you listen to this. Shout out. So yeah, that started to rot over time, and now we moved to Twitter. Twitter came soon afterwards. Then Twitter was the hot thing. You could go onto Twitter and you could say whatever you like, and now Twitter's that thing that we're saying, like, oh, it's kind of whack now. It's rotting. Instagram became that new, you know, and now we're still in it. We still love it. I don't know how long it's going to take before we start saying Instagram is rotting. We need something new. Because it seems like that always seems to happen with all these social media platforms. The more people go onto it, the shittier it becomes.
Yeah, it just becomes too saturated, and you get the wrong kinds of crowds there.
Yeah, I think the problem is that people are idiots, and as soon as they find out about it, it's like that, you know, that mass group mentality is like, let's go and fuck this shit up, you know?
Yeah, that's like, for example, when politicians started hopping onto social media, that was like, oh,
here we go. Because, I mean, there was freedom at one stage, man. I miss speaking with reckless abandonment on Twitter. I used to say the mollest things.
Yeah.
Now you have to be so careful what you say before you get dragged. And
it's not even only about getting dragged. You can get fired.
Dude. And there's so much power in it. Like, I don't know why businesses or people have started to take it so seriously. Because for a long time, it wasn't a business thing for me.
Okay.
It was an expression thing, another tool of expression. But I can tell you now, from a business perspective, I find social media difficult, or Twitter in particular difficult, because I want to express myself, you know, and that's a platform on which I could do that, or could. And I can't express myself in the way that I can. But even though I'm trying to promote my shows and show you that I'm funny, I can barely show you that I'm funny, because whatever I say might offend you, or it's the social justice warriors or virtue signalers who are out there who are going to find something wrong with what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it's funny because on stage they pay me to speak unfiltered, without any limitations, uncensored.
That same person who's busy throwing shade your way is laughing at you.
My jokes on the stage, yeah.
And telling you fucking killed this brat.
Yeah.
Shit.
You see, and that's the problem, because now there's a mismatch in our reality and our perceived reality on social media.
And that's also because people hide behind social media. Some of the things people say on social media, they wouldn't say in person.
Never. They would never. Luis Okola was actually talking about this in one of his gags. He's like, yeah, people love me on, the people hate me on social media, but they'll be like, ah, I'm so no, I come on. And like, they see him and they're like, I was like, hey, Luis Okola, can I buy you a beer? That's what people are like, because they don't have to confront you. They don't have to look you in the eye when they say that shit. So yeah, people can be, cowardice at times, but from a business perspective, right, I still need it.
Exactly. I think from like also, I would say, when did for me personally, I would say around about grade 8, which was 2006. That's when my time spent on social media started to increase year by year, exponentially, might I say.
Why was that?
But that was just for my own social benefit, right? Parents wouldn't understand. They'd say, you're spending too much time on your cellular device, all right? And I can understand that I need to study, I need to do my homework, I need to do my schoolwork. As time went by, grade 9, 10, 11, 12, university now, all right? Now you're taking university, and when you're out of high school, in the real world, you need social media to exist in the business world. Employers search your Facebook. You might not know. You might have a private account, But I'm telling you, these employers, they have hackers for a reason.
They have access. They're as good as a girl who thinks her boyfriend is cheating on her.
Exactly. You know, they need to do their background research. They can't have somebody who says so much controversial stuff on social media be one of their employees and represent the business, you know? I also saw, you were going to say?
That's my problem, right? Because I, controversy is where I live. You know, in order to push society forward, you have to be controversial. Because every idea, don't be afraid to be considered eccentric in your ideas, because every idea was once eccentric.
But that's why you had to leave the industry that you were in.
Yeah, but I mean, like, even now, I can't be as controversial as I actually am. On here, on this platform, I can be controversial because people are coming directly to download what they want from us. You know, they know what to expect from the worst guys. But when you're on social media, your feed can pop up on a random person's timeline through a like, through a retweet, and then that person from fucking Limpopo who doesn't have an education is going to come and tweet on top of that because he's a cyber bully, and then that creates traction, and you'll find those two ideas are not even connected, you know, and that's a difficult thing for me in terms of social media. It's not as curated as I'd like it to be. Maybe Instagram more so, but still too many people who I don't want to be seeing my content, who wouldn't even understand, they're not my target audience, let's say, can just hop onto it and be like, you know, bullshit, you know, and then now you're fucked. So the power is so outrageous for me, you know.
From a business point, I also noticed as I grew up, getting a lot of flack from my parents, but the role started to reverse when my father realized how important social media is.
Oh, yeah?
In a business sense.
Okay.
And marketing. There's like how many ads. You'll probably see like 4 or 5 tweets, advert. Another 4 or 5 tweets, advert. Another 4 or 5 tweet, advert. And like, honestly, it becomes tiresome. I don't want to see all of these ads on my feed. I don't want to see them on Facebook. I don't want to see them on Instagram, you know. I don't mind a boosted post. I'm talking about like ones that you can't even ignore. If I'm following you, shop, and you boosted your post. But
yeah, like those sponsored posts by Castle Light or Miller.
I feel like those are the equivalent of a broadcast message on WhatsApp. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay, but we do need it for business.
Yeah.
And we use it to stay in contact with people, let them know where we are, what we're doing. And that's the beauty of social media, that instant direct contact about what we are doing. We can tell you today we are at this party with Casa Light. It's going down. Here we are. If we got a show or something happens, we can tell people on social media, oh, show is cancelled. Or, you know, show tomorrow, the headliner has changed. It's no longer Loisa Matinga's Robbie Collins, for example.
Yeah.
You know, we can send that information out easily. And that's where I see the benefit of social media is the access to information. Access to information is so important in making better decisions. Knowing what is happening around you helps you to navigate around the world better.
Even in terms of e-commerce, right? Getting my information from financial24.com as my source, they say South African online spend is forecasted to grow to over 53 billion by 2018. So, like, if you're not on social media, you're not going to chow any, not even a randa from 53 billion.
And that's the thing, there's so much money there now. And that's why people are taking it so seriously, because there's a potential for a career. So everything you do or the way you represent yourself has to be career driven.
Yeah.
People only like your stuff. Like for me personally, on my Instagram, it's very career driven. You'll see that. And I don't follow people who are not career driven, because we don't have the same ideas of life. We don't have the same mentality. I don't want to see your party Instagrams every day. I've been to parties. I know what they like. They're fun. Cool. Show me something that you're working on. Show me something that you're doing that nobody else is doing. That's the type of stuff I want to see on my timeline.
Exactly.
And that's where we can also lead into the conversation about, you know, the people that you connect with. I think that is the primary USP of social media, unique selling point, is that connection where I don't have to see you or be near you, but if you like my tweet, I'll think, oh, shit, Rehab liked my tweet. Oh, is that, I knew he would. Oh, I'm so surprised he liked. Oh, I can't believe he did. You know what I mean? We have that unspoken communication in the air, you know? And that's why I want to find out from you if you think it's a good approach to, like, court women on social media, you know, sliding into the DMs. Have you ever slid into anyone's DMs?
Nope. I'm a OG kind of guy.
I do not recall that.
No. What do you mean I do not recall that? As if you're speaking for me and like my subconscious voice. No, that was not me, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I'm an old school G.
Old school. You're the guy who sings outside the window.
You know, when I see a girl I like, I walk up to her and I say, hey girl, how you doing? You are the woman that I'm really pursuing. I would like to get to know you. Could you give me your name? If you jot down your number, you get mine in exchange. Hey, you know, that's me. You know,
that's the way to do it.
Exactly.
Right? That's the way to do it. Yeah, but I feel like there is a lot of macking going on social media.
And what's frustrating me is becoming a norm, bro.
And it's not even sliding into the DMs now. It's subtle.
Yeah.
It's just the posts you like, when you like them, whose stories you're watching. It's like, damn, dog. Like, you can get a sense of who wants to fuck you by the likes.
Dude, because you know I'm in the fitness industry, right?
Yeah.
So, by virtue of being in the fitness industry, on my social media, hey, I'm not going to lie. Ladies, straight up, there's a lot of half-naked pictures of me. Enjoy. There's much life on my Instagram.
More life, more everything.
Hey, dude, you know what I'm saying? You ever feeling alone at night? I know winter's coming, ladies. Follow me.
No
Trust.
Need for porn, yo.
Follow me. I'll give you what you need. You know what I'm saying? Granted, you're going to have to ask permission from my lady. But anyway, what I'm saying is, you'll find females. Dude, I have motivational posts where I'm wearing clothes. I have motivational posts where I'm not, and I'm just trying to relay, you know, nothing's out of reach. You can work for whatever you want, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You'll find some people who, like, I'm not gonna be funny about this, but you'll find females, not only females, like men, who are trying to hit up a nigga, and I ain't about that life. But only liking topless pictures. What is that trying to say? You're trying to get my attention, right? If I see you constantly liking only a certain caliber of pictures, and you're not even in the industry, if a guy is liking my pictures and I can see he's also in the fitness industry, I know we're on the same wavelength.
Mm.
But if a female is liking only the topless pictures and not any one of me when I'm doing worst guys things or when we're at comedy, come on.
That's what I mean. That, you see, now you have that connection with those people. You know they're like, no, you chacharach, calm down.
Yeah.
I'm ignoring you. Oh, you, we have the same business goals. We might work together someday. Mm. I'll follow you back. You know, those type of things are the unspoken connections that we make on social media.
Sometimes it's not even subtle. The ones I posted on my story and a girl just responded with, eyes that had hearts.
Oh, yeah.
That emoji. And I'm just like, oh, girl, no words, no nothing. You're so much straight in love.
Ah, let her love you, dog. Let her love you.
No, I love her too. But not like that. Yeah. Don't get it twisted. But like...
Yeah. You see, but for me, I still think it's important to make connections like that. You know, not necessarily ones that you don't want, but people that are in your industry or are doing things similar to you that you don't necessarily get the time to hang around and know. You kind of get to know them via their social media. And that's one thing I love about Twitter as well, is that it exposes people's minds to a large extent. Nothing exposes your mind like writing. And that's why I'm still on Twitter, because I can see people and what they're thinking. And some of y'all thoughts are trash, just by the way. Some of y'all dumb as shit. But it's so beautiful. I can tell you who's going to make it just from my Twitter feed. The people who haven't made it yet, but have that thing. Yaze, that thing, you know.
That thing. That Banilo manje.
Yeah. So a lot of people, actually, you can see where they're going or where they are in life through that. And that's kind of a beautiful thing. I've never made a relationship from social media.
But you've had sex?
From social media.
I'm sure you have.
Let me think.
Come on, you're a rodent. There's no ways you haven't had sex from social media.
Nah, not really, eh? At Rose, everybody was out all the time.
No. I know people from, especially gents from Rhodes. Yeah. They have a silver tongue unmatched by any other institution. It's hard to mac, trust and believe, it's hard to mac and succeed if you versing a guy from Rhodes.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll think about it a little bit more, but I don't think I've actually, like, gone from a DM to in a girl's bed. You know, that's never happened. But I have developed crushes. Your social media crushes can be so, so real. Because you see this person every day. It feels like they're there. They're in your life. Can't you know? She's somewhere else, boy. That's when you tweet the next morning, I'm just going to focus on myself. Because the last night, she was like, I fell asleep. Meanwhile, she was fucking somebody else. And it's like,
Lala, I see you out here with Kent. But my boy, Mark, you know, Kent, I'm going to let you finish. But I know you can take Lala out to overseas, but my boy Mark can show her around Randburg.
I don't know if you know the Randburg taxi rank. I don't know if you know that. It's pretty wild out there, Lala.
You know what I'm saying?
We've got something to offer out here. yeah. So there are connections being made, and I enjoy that part of it. You know, getting a like feels cool. It actually genuinely releases serotonin.
Yeah.
So you feel better when you are liked. And a lot of people feel like, you know, how many likes is my life worth? I don't think it's about
That's the downfall side of it.
All right. Go further.
Because people kill themselves over that. I remember somebody tweeted J. Cole with an image of him holding a gun to his little sister. Like, hey, yo, J. Cole, if you don't retweet this, I'm finna pop a cap in my sister.
See.
Straight up.
You retweet it?
Yes, what are you gonna do?
Imagine I let her die. If she dies, she dies.
You see, that's why they didn't cost you for Rocky. you would have been like, if they costed you for Apollo, you're like, nah, why the nigga gotta die? No, I ain't gonna die, nigga. Nah, nigga.
But seriously,
people go over and beyond, you know? I feel like social media is also one of the causes for people falling into a huge depression.
Yeah. Look, can I touch on that? There was a point when I wasn't pursuing my dreams, wasn't pursuing the life that I wanted, where seeing all these people do nice things all the time, but Jenny D, but Shashi Naidu, you know, living that great life, it hurt me. I was like, yo, I'll never get there. How did these guys? But when I started pursuing the life that I want, it's just inspiring now.
Yeah,
I look at them, I'm like, yo, I can't wait to do this fucking shit. Like, I'm enjoying my own life, and I'm doing my own, you know, Bali at Kitchener's, you know, on my own level. Because, I mean, like, this is dope for me right now. But I can see that as a place where I can go, because the people are going there and they're doing that. I'm like, kinao. You know what I'm saying? So my perspective around that has changed, and I hope to change your perspective on it, is that don't envy them. They've worked hard to get there. What are you gonna do to get there? There's nothing stopping you from getting there. So by looking at them, you should be like, damn, the fact that they can means I can. And if you're not, that's you. That's your own laziness. That's your own self-pity. That's your own self-doubt. That's your own fear. Those are things that nobody else can let go of for you. Except for you. You have to come to your own understanding of what it is that you want and how it is you're going to get it. There's absolutely nothing you can't do in this world. You want to be with Bonang and AKA in Thailand? Go. Nothing's stopping you. You can go. It might take a while, but you can go.
Do you think social media kills relationships?
Well, I think bad people kill relationships. I don't think it's necessarily social media. I mean, if you're going to cheat on your girlfriend, you're going to do it in real life before Facebook and Twitter, and you're going to do it now that it exists as well. So I don't think people should blame social media, but I do think that it puts the relationship under a bit of pressure because, you know, there's so many more eyes. It's so easy to see when somebody else wants your beef. You know, in reality, if a girl gives you a look, you know, you know that look. No, if you can read it and you're with your girlfriend but you're the only two who saw that. It's like, okay, she gave me a look. I know she kind of wants to fuck, but it's cool. We're done. That's it.
No. To everybody listening, let me just dissect this for you, all right? I don't know this look that you're talking about, but you seem to know it very well.
The fuck me eyes. There's no way you don't know the fuck me eyes. Don't lie, Ria Besosele. Before you had a girlfriend, you were a bad man. Let's not let this guy lie to us, guys. We know this guy is a worst guy through and through. So I'm saying, everybody knows when there's a woman. How do you know when a girl wants to fuck you? How do you know?
Hey, dog. I don't know. I'll only know when she's in the covers, you know.
Because for me, I'll be honest with you, I barely have game because...
That's a lie. That's
no,
a lie.
No, listen, I'm saying most girls, I find out from them that they want me. I'm not usually the one who makes the first move.
No, you're stealing my line. That's my line.
But it's true for me as well. I promise to God, I don't know what to say to women. Like, I don't go up to women and go, hey, girl, how you doing? That's not me. Like, as a first approach, there has to be something that happened before. We made some heavy eye contact. I made a joke. She laughed really back. That's when I'll go in. But I'm not that predator who jumps in. You know, a lot of people, they like to go up. You know, they'll say, guababa. Guababa say, what? And I'm like, yo, what? I'm chilling right here. So what I'm saying is now that exchange between you two in reality is so far removed from the exchange on social media, because now that like is there forever, that heart-shaped eye emoji is there forever, you know, that DM is there forever, and your girl can go through and see that, and depending on whether she trusts you or not, that's how she'll react. But she won't be happy because she actually saw that. Whereas in the meantime, even your girlfriend can get macked on by a guy when she's out somewhere and come back home and it'll be chilled. She won't even tell you about it because it didn't matter. But now social media makes it look like it matters because you kept it. Why did you keep it? Or whatever the case might be. Anyway.
Forbes.com, I'm reading here, impact of social media on millennial marriages. A recent study revealed a strong correlation between social media use and unhappy marriages and divorce. I think it's directly related.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Yeah, apparently now 1 out of 3 divorce cases have the word Facebook in it. Imagine, bruh.
I can honestly tell you, because I've had chats with plenty of women, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason why, I can say from a woman's perspective, is because if they see you liking other females' posts, they don't understand why you're giving that female or those females that attention, And I don't think these social media platforms are helping. I mean, it says they like, but then you show a heart. Like, how are you helping?
How are you gonna hide that now? It's like,
why don't you just make a like a sharp sign?
Yeah.
You know.
Now it's not platonic anymore. You're getting my heart involved. What are you doing in the ladies' toilet?
Exactly. Now she feels like that lady's getting all of the attention. All right. She looks at the picture. You can see that the female whose picture you liked, isn't wearing that much clothing, you know? Yeah.
And especially in our industry, because those pictures happen.
Man, you know? Sex sells. That's exactly why it's out there.
Yeah.
And she then starts to do the same to try and get your attention. Mm. And by doing so, now you also get jealous because now you know that
other niggas. Yeah.
And then when you see her getting 5,000 likes, and then you're like, whoa. Babe, what you doing?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you start eating your own.
Don't
words.
You want to delete your Twitter or your Instagram there?
I think it goes both ways. If you're gonna be as a gent, if you're gonna be liking girls' pictures out there, you know, then when your girl does the same in terms of posting a picture of a similar nature, then you can't have beef with that. You know.
I think with that, it all boils down to trust.
Yeah.
It all boils
security
down to
in
trust.
The relationship. You need to know yourself.
Yeah. Like if I'm a staring, right? Or when I'm a staring, rather, and I go out with my girlfriend and I go to the mall or whatever, and you know, girls want to take pictures or whatever. My girlfriend mustn't fret. I'm not going to go off with a groupie. You know, I saw my kiss my girlfriend back, even with a lamza, and then take a photo, and then I go back. Everybody must know. She must be comfortable with the fact that I am a sex symbol. That's cool, but my sex is only for you. You know what I'm saying?
Unpredictable, but to do something you never done before. Hey, maybe not the usual tonight.
We getting unpredictable. It's the worst, guys. Feed yourself with my life's worth.
this is my life worth? Feed yourself with my life's worth. How many likes is my life worth? Feed yourself with my life's worth.
How many likes is my life worth? Yo, that's the Chainsmokers with Sick Boy. Hey, I've been hanging out with some white boys lately who showing me some fire music that's happening out there that I didn't even know existed. But as soon as I put the J call on, it's like, no, bro, it's inappropriate. There's not dinner music.
Fuck you and your opinion, bitch.
Yeah. Anyway, we have a talk about social media psychology today. What goes into it? What is it that's happening in our minds when all of the things pop off? The likes, the DMs, the business proposals, you know, how we make that money on social media. Everything. What is it all about? Anyway, you know, we've had this discussion a couple of times, but never in such depth, I don't think. And I think now we're starting to realize more and more how serious of a role social media plays in our careers, in our personal lives, all of that shit. How do you feel about exposing your personal life on social media? To what extent do you talk about, you know, your own feelings, things that happened? Will you talk about if you have a crush or something?
For me, my social media is my social media. All right, okay. It's my canvas. It's where I relay every single one of my thoughts, good, bad, big, small. If I feel like I need to get it off my chest, I'm gonna get it off my chest. You know, I don't like carrying burdens. And the reason I say that also is because I see myself as an influencer and a motivator, an inspiration. And I don't wanna relay an image of everything's gonna be okay and
everything
you're just gonna
perfect.
Work. You know. Not everything is, you know, blue sky, sunny day.
Sure.
You're going to have rainy days. You're going to have storms. You're going to have tsunamis. Let that show. Let the people know.
That nobody's perfect. Nobody goes through an amazing life
24/7. Yeah.
And that's exactly how I feel about Twitter as well. I've even said this before on my Twitter. I'm like, I speak of my highs the exact same way I speak of my lows. I'm not perfect, but neither are y'all. You know, so I tell people there's days where I feel like dying. I literally tweet like, ugh, this is such a sick day. I could just die right now.
You know, that's when you relate to people like Lil Wayne. Only once the drugs are done, I feel like dying. I feel like dying.
Yeah. So those, we experience all of those emotions, and that's why I'm okay with letting that out. A lot of people will say, oh, you don't expose yourself too much. What are you going to do? If I'm telling you about something that's happening in my life, it's already happened. You know, if my heart got broken, it's already happened.
And that, I feel, you know, subtly, it makes you more trustworthy.
It does.
You don't hide anything. You're being authentic. You're being raw. You're being real. And what more are we looking for than honesty and truth in this world?
100%. Alrighty, let's get into some news stories that have caught our attention over the week. As you know, the country and the world is usually lit, and we tell the truth about it, the whole truth, and nothing but.
One more penny, add it again, read about it. Extra, place grab young fan, extra, read all about it, life story.
I won't lie, that was a dope remix. What did you
do? I know, dog. I was going in there. I'm becoming a DJ here, don't you know? I'm going to conquer the whole entertainment industry. DJing, comedy, music, acting, zonke bonke. Give my computer on the decks.
I won't lie, I saw Ebenezer's bio on Twitter.
Yeah.
He says, I'm an aspiring everything. I was like, beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, we were talking about this yesterday a little bit after the Poppy's show in Melville, where it's like, you know, the minimum requirement these days is to be able to do everything.
Mm.
It's the absolute minimum. You've got to be able to do it all. If you can't, forget about it. People are your beast. The access to information, for example, is making people so good at what they want to do. You can learn how to play the guitar on YouTube now.
Thabo Mijello even said, people go study for years, but they can't even make for themselves. You go work for somebody.
Dog, niggas on YouTube, he's beating you. What is that? Wake up, wake up, wake up.
And he's at it again. I'm finna get my royals.
All right. Okay, anyway, so the news stories that have caught our attention. The first one is about comedian Bill Cosby being back on stage. Like, I can't believe that he actually is. I thought after this whole scandal, he was going to be like, nah, done with the game. Never, ever again. And I wish I knew what he spoke about, but this is the article from EWN. U.S. comedian Bill Cosby performed his first stand-up gig since being swept up in sex scandals, joking in Philadelphia on Monday about his blindness and fueling criticism on social media, according to video posted online. Okay, so he didn't really talk about the allegations, which is bleak. I mean, like, if something like this did happen, the first thing I'd expect you to talk about is what happened.
I would have thought his opening gag would be like, well, anybody want a drink?
Yeah, exactly. That would be hilarious. Dude, that would be so hilarious. You know, like if Louis C.K. ever comes out and does a show, I want him to talk about why he was wanking in front of those bitches. That's the first thing that he must come out of the gate, because that's your job as a comedian, to bring up the elephant in the room, the thing that everybody's thinking. Once you mention it, that releases you from fear. That's why we love comedy. It takes us out of that place of fear where we feel like we can't say anything, or we feel ashamed of the feelings that we are feeling or thinking.
I actually tagged you on a tweet.
About Sunday the jokes Times. You can't tell.
Yeah.
I couldn't read it. I wasn't subscribed. You have to subscribe to Sunday Times.
But Sunday Times made a post about how wokeness is killing comedy. What's your take on that?
Oh, it definitely is, bro. Well, not to a large extent. I think to some extent, because some people still go into comedy rooms with the idea or the understanding that this is the place you go for that eccentric opinion, that offense, that where people can say what they want freely. But some places are not like that. Kitchener's is like that. I love that room. Dope room for comedy. And when I first started on comedy, it was fresh. Fresh, fresh, fresh. Everybody was feeling it. But over time, you know, the wokeness started to evolve. Penny Sparrow came out. You know, the rage, the fees must fall, the sex scandals. All these things started to build up. And now they've caused a block. You know, that people, as soon as you say something that is in relation to that, they immediately cut you off, whether it's funny or not.
I feel
becomes a little bit tense.
I feel like South African comedians get more flack than what overseas comedians would be. I don't know the comedy scene overseas, granted, but like from your experiences and what you've told me, I feel like it has taken away a little bit.
It has.
It's almost like every other comedian is now, when Jacob Zuma is doing something, no, Jacob must go now, you know.
You know, at the end of the day, funny is funny.
True.
So when you say the right things, people will laugh. So even if wokeness is killing comedy, there's no way we're never going to laugh again in life. So what is it about our generation that's funny now? Politicians aren't funny anymore. They're outdone. They're dry. We're looking for something else. You know, racism isn't funny anymore. Racist jokes based on race, not that funny anymore. It's done.
So
there's a new world order coming through.
Here's my thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because we look at people like Trevor Noah and we see that people see, like the South Africa see it as the standard, right? Whatever he's talking about should be what comedians are talking about, right? All right, and he's always talking about current affairs and making jokes about certain situations. Now, when somebody comes with rhetoric situations and making jokes about them, right? He doesn't necessarily get that same sort of shine, even though he will put you in tears.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a whole global dynamic. People like to hear opinions about what's happening, you know, outside opinions other than the president. I don't want to hear what the president has to think about politics. I want to hear what somebody who's smarter than the president thinks about politics.
I'm not gonna lie, for me, I would put you know, Bernie Max, I want some milk and cookies.
Above any political joke.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You see, but that's what I mean. That's still funny today. Even a woke crowd will find that funny.
Yeah.
You know, although they might be like, oh, you're saying gay children must be ashamed. You see, there's always, if you're not offending somebody in a joke, it's not a joke. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. A comedy room is where you go to get offended, almost.
Do you think Bill Cosby will make the rise again?
He's done, dog. He's done. I think.
Is he washed?
I think he's just doing it because he can't do anything else.
Oh, you thought I was washed? I'm at the cleaners.
Imagine he just gets a Netflix show about his scandals. So it's like a documentary that he records.
I don't want to lie. Yeah. I don't want to lie. If that has to happen... Men, hide.
I'm watching that show, dog. I want to see how Bill Cosby did all of this.
No, I'm watching it, but I'm watching it and hiding. Women are going to start World War III.
Put
Bill Cosby on television.
That's so real. And the future really is feminine. And I've been thinking about this more and more lately. But I don't know, dude. Is the future so feminine that we'll start going to the Banyana World Cup finals instead of Bafana? I think that's already happening. But you know, I'm talking in general, like sports. Mm. Will the female Grand Slam be the main event of the tournament?
Dude, for example, this past Sunday when you were performing at the 20 and 5 at the box,
mm-hmm.
I think it was George. George went in on this one girl in the front row.
What
right?
What did he say?
Going in about his dick and everything, how you won't be able to take a picture of it. You'll have to take a video, but still, you'll have to get like a 4 gig memory card to capture the data on that thing. And then afterwards, guess who goes on?
Who?
Gilly Apter.
Oh, so shit.
Now, and then she's like, oh, give it up for all of the trash you've seen so far.
Oh, that's blazing. You know? That's blazing.
But then, you know, and then she goes on to say like some things about like men always talking about their dicks and pussy and stuff like that. Now we can't joke about that no more.
Nah, I talk about pussy for days. That's the thing I know most. Boy, I'll forever talk about
pussy.
You see
what I'm saying? That's takes back to how wokeness is now changing comedy.
It's diluting what happens in reality. We still forget that people are fucking out here and sex is fucking awkward. Mm. Let's talk about those awkward things about sex. It's an important part of life. Now we're gonna pretend like this shit doesn't happen.
Mm. You know what's gonna happen to all these women? Well, no. I'm really gonna share
what?
This opinion.
Yeah.
I'm really gonna.
Go,
it's
go.
A worst guy's opinion, but it's true and it remains true. Dude, speak your
truth.
Y'all say no, dick, yeah. You ain't finna be thirsty.
Hey, dog.
You ain't finna be thirsty, all right? Straight up. I'm gonna say plain blank, just like that.
You ain't finna be thirsty. I don't understand.
Dude, you can't cry rivers about what George is saying about a joke. A joke. And then...
You still want
to
fuck.
At the end of the day, you go home to your husband or your boyfriend and you get it. From behind.
In the north even.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then you come back to stage and then now you want to throw shade.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Let's not pretend our realities aren't what they are.
No shade thrown at Gilly. I think you're dope. I'm just saying, you know. My boy Graza, you know, he, let's get into another new story.
Hey, before we expose too much on this show.
Help me.
Alright, new story, Cape Town.
Ding, 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 ding.
Cape Town is pretty fucked right now. they are so close to day zero and it's actually serious. A lot of people think it's a joke. They are on today. April 21st is supposedly when day zero is going to be.
I get really bad at DA.
Born. Yeah. Here's your DA for you. No water. Mm. Yeah, it's raining right now in Joburg. I can go fucking take a shower and come back and take a shower again.
Yeah, Zuma was stealing. But he's like, we will provide water
for the Chopekas. Yeah, okay. So, you know, I think it's God punishing Cape Town for his racism. Gata. He's like, yeah, ninyile boy. Yeah, be racist with a dry mouth. Let's see how that go. How you say kafir with a dry mouth?
Oh, no. Right. I don't know whose child you are anymore, bro. Seriously.
God, the one and only. Okay, so these are the restrictions, right? Dishes and laundry, 18 liters per person. a 90-second shower, and apparently you're not allowed to take. You know, you shouldn't be taking more than 2 showers a week.
Trust, if you're a girl from Cape Town, don't even think about sliding into my DMs.
Nah, fuck you, dog. 2 showers a week. Now you come here dirty. For sake.
And you want me to go down on you,
dog? Now your pussy all smelly and shit. Nah.
Even ladies, respect yourself. If a guy's from Cape Town and he's macking on you, you know his dick ain't clean.
Yeah. Forget about it. He's gonna have that cream cheese there.
Especially if he's not circumcised. Ah, only a girl. Oh, Neil.
Woo! Okay. One toilet flush.
By the time you flush that shit, it's you clogging up.
You know when you have a buck shit and it doesn't go all the way down?
I love how Cape Town is going to have to feel like what it is to live in the Kasi. They're going to start having long drops.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, there's points of distribution that Cape Towners will eventually have to go to around the city in order to collect water. And there'll also be limitations on that. But yeah, they failed to stay under 500 liters of water for the city's use.
Wait, my boy. I'm not going to lie. What's that last one that I'm seeing there? That's insane.
One dog bowl of water.
What? Do you
so
see
you
this thing
like
of...
four animals, get one dog bowl.
No. This is outrageous.
Or you can mine your... your shower or your laundry and then give your dog more water.
Because I feel like, honestly now, I saw somebody retweet there, you know, that Helen Ziller even tweeted that she wants to start naming and shaming families that don't follow the policies that they're trying to put in place to save to Cape Town from this water crisis. Like, why would you do that? That's like high school tendencies.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what this thing has actually made me think about is, it's made me see life so differently because now we can see the possibility of an apocalypse. You know, like we mentioned Cape Town dries up. Joburg dries up.
Nah,
Joburg will never dry up. Okay. LA dries up.
Joburg
you know,
is too wet.
Yeah. It's too moist up here. There's too many worse guys in Joburg for it to be dry. Anyway, so like you get into the point where you can see the possibility of like a disastrous thing happening. That's what I'm saying. I'm saving all the water I can. I'm building a bunker, getting me one of them JoJo tanks, store it in the bunker. You come to my crib when the apocalypse comes. Yes, sir. I don't take you in if you have ugly eyebrows, boy. Or if you're a mash canty, I don't take you into my crib. I'm saying people still think of water like it's not a commodity. This thing is the future's gold, and you guys are still treating it like shit.
I become the Pablo Escobar of H2O.
Yeah. So, like, you know that scene where Scarface smokes that cocaine at the all on the table. I have bottles of water, boy, and I just glug them down. You wanna talk to me? You wanna talk to me?
Say hello to my little friend, and you bring out your water gun. But also, like, it'll just be like, reports have it that Malcolm Dooley and his gang, the worst guys, have been smuggling water out of Johannesburg. Reports have it that customs have seized over 10,000 liters of water imported into Cape Town shores. Here we are with Dave with more.
Yeah, and I think that's going to get there. All I'm saying is that let's prepare for the apocalypse, guys. Have a place to hide. Hide your kids. Hide your wife. All right.
Hide your water supply.
But yeah, it's cool. SA Breweries is chipping in to help. They're filling in a whole bunch of quarts. So
in goods
of water to help the situation out. So yeah, I don't know. I hope it doesn't get to that point. But I think it is kind of late for them. And then the usual politicians who are corrupt are being investigated and nothing's going to really happen. That story is an every week story, so we'll leave that out. And lastly, and obviously most importantly, South Africa has lost an absolute legend.
And heaven has claimed yet another angel.
Hugh Masekela passed away
R.I.P.
on the 23rd of January from prostate cancer. I mean, he's a legend, right? But
you see what happens when you don't chug enough.
Exactly. Or have enough sex.
But no.
go out there and bust a nut, guys. It's important. Yeah. It really, really is. Because now, Mans was chilling like a virgin, now he's gone.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't think South Africa is that conscious about, especially South African men, they're conscious about testing for prostate cancer and things of similar nature.
Feel your balls, man. Feel your balls. There might be some lumps in there. I remember having a talk in high school about prostate cancer, and it was actually pretty great. It wasn't even awkward. We were actually pretty mature about it. You know, it was our maths lit teacher. She was the only female in the room with a whole bunch of boys talking about balls and shit. Shout out to that teacher. She's very brave. But yeah, it is an unfortunate news. You know, we try keep it light at all times. But rest in peace, you Masekela. You've given us so much amazing music. I know he's one of the hardest working musicians I've seen in South Africa.
Yo,
he hustles like he's an open spot.
Can I tell you, he is also part and parcel of the reason why artists are starting to be valued more and more. He fought the fight for the remuneration
of artists,
for the acknowledgement, for the stage, and taking South African entertainment to that level,
to the international level. Yeah, he was one of the guys. Bo Miriam Makeba, Bo Brenda Fassie,
pioneer,
Hugh Masekela, Johnny Clegg. He's part of that crew, the gods of South African music. Wow, I'm blown away. But anyway, that's the news for the day. But yeah, we're about to wrap up the show. We've spoken about the psychology of social media and how it's affecting us these days. And overall, I do think it's a good thing. But also one thing about it, I think we'll always move on to the next cool thing.
Mm.
So Instagram, I know it might not seem like it now. There was a time when Twitter was so cool, it didn't seem like it could ever get whack. Instagram is going to get whack. Just like Facebook got whack, just like Twitter got whack, Instagram is going to get whack, and we're going to need something else, because people ruin shit. People are shit.
I think one of the three is going to survive. Which one do you think is going to be the survivor?
If there was one, it would be Instagram, because there isn't as much talking. I think the talking is what fucks people over. That's what I'm talking about, exposing your mind. As soon as you see how dumb people are, that's when something becomes bad. You can't really show how dumb you are via picture. You know, so maybe Instagram is the best bet. But as soon as you're allowed to use words, you know, a lot of people don't know how to use words. And that's a big problem in society in general. But anyway, it's been a dope ass conversation. We've been hanging out with you guys. And you know the words, guys. We always tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but. We're going to wrap up with the words, guys, cypher. But oh shit, I've got some good news. I can't tell you too much about it.
Mm-mm,
but yo, let me not say before my contract gets shot. All I'm saying is there's a guy out there. I don't know who he is. Mm. There's somebody out there who got a movie role. I don't know who he is. And it's an international movie role.
Mm.
And he was cast by an Emmy-nominated casting director. I don't know who he is, but let me tell you, that guy is fucking ecstatic. That's all I'll say.
Hey, I don't even know why you're saying it to these people. Do you know how many people are going to try to be dick riding? Y'all ain't part of our entourage.
You ain't part of it. You ain't part of it. Yeah. And let me not say too much, actually, before I get fired out here. Anyway, it's been so dope hanging out with you guys and chatting. Today, we've got a little something special for you. We got a little mashup that we performed at Pick Me Up Poetry, actually.
Shout out to Sketch and
Webster.
Shout out.
Yeah, they run a dope ass gig called Pick Me Up Poetry. You can catch them at Bread and Roses in Melville on 7th Street, corner 7th and 4th. But today they're at Mooty. It's the same street, which is just next door. It's a beautiful venue that's just opened up there. They really do give us, as artists, a dope platform, man, where anybody can go and just try their shit and see if it works. For most of us, it does. For some, it doesn't. You know,
But that's how you learn.
Open mic shit goes. Yeah. It's a beautiful open mic. If you're an artist, catch them at Pick Me Up Poetry, Bread and Roses in Melbourne. All right. Without further ado, let's get into the cipher for this morning. You know what it is. Da 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 da. Da. Da 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 da, da 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 da, da da da.
I got my eyes on you. You everything that I see. I want your high love and emotion. Endlessly, I can't get over you.
I can't get over you.
You left your mark on me. I want your high love and emotion.
Yeah.
Endlessly, cause you're a good girl and you know it.
Hey.
Da, 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 da. You act so different around me.
Mm-girl.
Da, 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 da. Cause you're a good girl and you know it. Da, 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 da. I know exactly who you could be.
Hey, so where we going, girl?
So just hold on, we're going home.
Bambi-san, that's all.
Just hold on, we're going home. It's hard to do these things alone. So just hold on, we're going home.
Yeah.
Oh, oh,
yeah.
Oh.
I wonder if she believes in love at first sight. Hey, I'm not easily deceived, but after seeing her, I just might. Woo! Bouncing like a fairy tale, like I found a glass slipper, and she's the one that fits just right. She's standing tall like Liberty.
Liberty.
I swore it on my mama, never ever put her heart in jeopardy. Cause with my mama, she means the world to me, and with this girl, I see the best pastures for me to plant my seed. I mean, to plant our seed. That's only if she agrees to start our own little family. Maybe two or three kids living by the ocean.
What?
Man, I don't even drink, must be her love potion, or the scent of a lotion. Whatever it is, it got me filled with so much emotion. Buzzing off the endorphins. The closer I get to her, I'm closer to my dreams. Hey, and by the look in her eyes, I could tell that her broken heart got her closer to Adele.
Ooh.
Could I be the one to resurrect her from hell? Could my 16 bars save
just
her soul for jail?
Just hold on, we're going home.
Baby girl,
just hold on, we're going home.
You know the song's for you, girl.
It's hard to do these things alone.
It takes two to tango.
But just hold on, we're going home.
Hold my hand, girl. Hold my hand, girl. Rest.
This is CliffCentral.com.